And welcome, everybody. You're listening to Cloud Sense. I'm Jack Barugian, your host, and this is a great show for you today. I'm really excited about it. You know, every now and then I've got a great interview for you. I think all my interviews are great, but today's interview is a special one for me. And, you know, it's not only because we're going to academia, we're bringing on the Associate Dean of Technology from Capella University, Dr. Bill Daphnis, but this is actually an old friend. So for me, you know what, there's a sense of pride when I get to interview friends, and, you know, and it's really cool. But anyway, you know what, I really want to get into it. You know, if those of you that have been listening to my podcast know that I have been all over the inefficiencies that we have been seeing in the markets, whether it be the cloud market, whether it be, you know, just technology in general. And, you know, I want to get Bill's thoughts on it. What's he teaching people these days? What are they talking about? You know, more importantly, as he's shaping thought leaders for tomorrow, what are the disruptions that are out there? You know, I want to get his take on blockchain. I want to get his take on AI. You know, I really want to know what he's thinking about all this, because, you know, quite frankly, and you've got to start to think a little bit like, you know, like the old investment managers used to do. And what I mean by that is, you know, they used to walk through the malls back in the days before Amazon to see what was selling, all right? And they would, based off of that, they would make their decisions and go out there and make an investment strategy, watching what the public was doing, paying attention to what was happening. Well, you know, one good way to do that is also to pay attention to your children. I did that. It's one of the reasons that I've got Apple stock. All right, I watched those kids, you know, grow up on Apple. All right, they grew up. They had an Apple product in their hands in grammar school. I want you to think about that, folks. All right, they grew up with Apple. Apple created an entire ecosystem around children initially. And I bring that up only because, you know, even though, you know, Dr. Daphnis is probably dealing with people that are not children, in fact, I would go as far as to say at Capella, more than likely, these are people that are retraining themselves. You know, what he's doing, though, is he's shaping and molding those that are really in charge of our technological futures. It's something that I don't think anybody really takes lightly, and I know for a fact Dr. Daphnis doesn't take it lightly. But anyway, so when we come back, we're going to dig into that a little bit, and I really want to get his ideas. And by the way, you know, as we do these interviews, for those of you that are listening, if you have questions, if you have any ideas, if you have any comments, go ahead and email them to us right here at UC Extra, and we'll make sure that we cover them for you. All right, we're going to take a couple of minutes. When we come back, Dr. Bill Daphnis.
Are you in the market for cloud but wondering where to start or how to get the best value? Looking for help figuring out what you need without telling the same story to 10 different people? UCX is the cloud pricing and procurement marketplace. We quickly and easily help you identify exactly what you need, whether it's custom private cloud, bare metal, or VMs. We put your spec on our platform, where CSPs openly compete to deliver the best price, fit, and term. Save time, money, and find your cloud your way. UCX, cloud buying made easy.
And welcome back, everybody. As promised, I was telling you that we have got one of my more exciting guests that I brought on the show, and this is the Associate Dean of Technology at Capella University, Dr. Bill Daphnis. And before we get into this, I want to give you a full disclosure. You know, for those of you listening out there, it's Dr. Daphnis, all right? I get to call him Bill because I grew up with Dr. Daphnis. So, Bill, how are you? And it's so great to have you on Cloud Sense. Thank you very much.
Hey, Jack, thank you for bringing it up. Thank you. Great to be here.
I absolutely love what you've done. You know what? As an old friend, I'm very proud of what you've done over there, especially at Capella. And let's get right into it. You know, what I said right before the break is, you know, haven't people wondered where these great minds are coming from? And guess what? Whether you like it or not, you are one of those thought leaders. You're one of those great that are shaping these people. And so what are you teaching them these days? What's in the curriculum, you know, for somebody who is the Associate Dean of Technology at Capella University?
Great, Jack. Well, quite honestly, it's where they start. We're a competency-based institution. Learners come to us, they're adult learners primarily, and they come to us with various backgrounds. And obviously, we want to teach them infrastructure, security, CPU, the stack, the foundations, the foundations of computing that will lead them up into some more meaningful specializations or majors, such as the cloud or cybersecurity and whatnot. But it's really important to do that. But also, as part of my function at Capella, I'm part of the School of Business and Technology. It's the intersection of technology with business. So it's, and then what? So it's not enough to say we've taught them cloud or we're teaching them IO and we're teaching them all the infrastructure. What are you going to do with that? Because the new CIO today has to answer to the CFO and multiple stakeholders.
Well, you know what, you hit the nail on the head. I think, you know, one of my mantras has been that IT spending, back when I was on the board of directors of the CME Group or president of Commerce Bank, I remember IT spend was almost a luxury item. You know, people were creating websites and everything. And now it's a question of survival. I don't think, you know, people have, you know, the luxury of not being able to compete in a world where everything is so digital and so fast paced. And, you know, just real quick before we go into the next question, you said that there are a lot of, you know, older, I'm assuming that you're retraining people in a lot of cases. These are people that are looking for maybe a new profession, something that they've, they find that they need to learn technology. Am I right in assuming that, Bill?
Absolutely. In many respects, life has happened. Many of our learners come to us with a military background. And why do they come to us? Well, we have top accreditations, ABET, the Computing Accreditation Commission of ABET, Project Management Institute. We're accredited by them. We're also designated by the NSA. So they are choosing a school that is vetted by third parties and other constituents. But also, our learners are also working full-time. Many of our learners, undergrad, grad and doctoral, are coming to us as CIOs. Many of them are at the VP level. But again, as I mentioned earlier, life happened. Their average age is around 39 years old. And to get to that next level, they need a degree. They need a little bit more.
I tell you, that is spot on. You know what? You don't stop learning. It's one of the things that my late parents would always insist. And I know, having met yours, and you know what? Your late father was always a big fan of education too. I remember that. Hey, you know what? Let's dig into your mind a little bit here. You know, you're a speaker at a lot of these conferences. You know, what is academia think about the growth of the cloud? I mean, I was out there spouting numbers in my last podcast about, you know, $11 billion that was spent on public infrastructure in the first quarter of this year and how it was a 32% increase year over year. And, you know, how do you guys see it? I mean, I've seen it from just pure business and dollars and cents, whereas you could probably see it maybe from 30,000 feet and get some more insight in it. You know, give me your thoughts there, Bill.
Absolutely. Well, it's a way of doing business today, especially in our environment. If you think about Capella and our vertical, if you will, of online universities, we were the original disruptors. Now we're finding many of the traditional public universities coming online. Many of them don't have the expertise to go online, so they also outsource to cloud-based providers such as Pearson or Wiley or others to help them enable the cloud. But we are much like any other industry, however, bifurcated in the sense that you have the back-end infrastructure, back-end systems, such like ERP, Workday, ServiceNow. We still do the same things along those lines for the financial services and human resources. But then we also have learning management systems, the tools that our learners use. And think about textbooks. People and learners today, we're not using the textbooks of old. They're e-textbooks. They're storing their homework on learning management systems, labs and cybersecurity. They're hacking away in our labs as I speak, learning how to serve as a penetration tester or a defender of an infrastructure. So we need live virtual hosted provisioned environments and enable our learners to have real world experiences. So all of this is enabled by the cloud, Jack, and it's without this, I think we would still be building dormitories instead of expanding to the terabytes of storage we need to teach.
Well, you know what? Just to follow up on that, are the days of you know, me sending my kids to university where they're going to live in a dorm, you know what I mean, for 4 years, and are those days over, Bill? I mean, are we just seeing a morphing of the college experience, as it were?
You're absolute a hybrid, and a lot of that is cost enabled, required. The cost to send students to a 4 year are prohibitive for many individuals, and obviously that's where we see community colleges coming to play. But you're seeing more of a hybrid.
That makes a lot of sense.
And it will evolve. It will evolve. I think the learning, the community of going to a way to college, that's something that cannot be replaced. And that, I don't think that will go away. And well, among other things, and also your favorite sports teams, if you will.
Well, you know what? I hope you're right, only because I think that there is a lot to be learned, especially. I think my kids learned a lot by going away to college. So I hope that doesn't go away. But you know, I do see it changing. And I think what you're talking about is spot on, because, you know, what you teach these days, especially when we're talking about infrastructure, especially when we're talking about IT, you know, most of that can be taught, believe it or not, I think even more effectively remotely. In some cases, it seems, because of the fact that you can learn at your own pace, you can actually dig into things, and you know, you're not sitting in a classroom with 50 people at some cases, or maybe even more, where you can get lost real quick. But anyway, let's go on. I want to dig into a couple of more ideas. What does academia these days think about blockchain technology, cryptocurrencies? This whole evolution that we're seeing. You know, there are so many people out there that the Jamie Dimons of the world, which have got a lot to lose. And everyone says, well, what do you mean they got a lot to lose? They're billionaires. So I go, well, they've got a lot to lose. I mean, they're going to be the ones disintermediated by this technology, and people don't understand that. But what do you see, and what are you talking about as far as all that goes?
Well, obviously, it's an extension, I feel, of, you know, any type of modeling. You know, you have your VMs, you have your you take it to the next level. So in terms of blockchain, think of a transcript, your transcript from high school or college or kindergarten, and think of how that threads throughout the entire ecosystem. So when we think about blockchain, it's more or less, let's call it from the supply chain side, Ethereum, if you will, not necessarily the cryptocurrency, but the blockchain platform that will enable that that transcript, that that's immutable, it's secure, it's trusted, that somebody can't forge or blemish their resume or transcript. It's valid throughout somebody's life cycle. So in some ways, that's a little scary because some of the math classes I enjoyed so much I took them twice. I don't like to report on that too often, but
I like that. I actually wrote an op-ed that CNBC published where I said that, you know, blockchain technology could probably take the place of tariffs, only because this way, you know, you can actually see the origin of the steel. So you know if it's being dumped via Canada or via Mexico or whatever the case might be. Just like a diamond has got a serial number on it, and we don't get flooded with, you know, with conflict diamonds. Does that make sense to you from a technology standpoint?
It absolutely does. And you need to bring it down to the most finite component. I mean, where does it begin? You know, you have the initial block and it transcends it. It builds upon the subsequent block. And there's a level of trust that's built in all the way through the life cycle of that block.
Yeah, no,
or the blockchain.
It's cool stuff, I got to tell you. Hey, how about AI? You know what? Are you doing anything? You talking about that at all? It seems to be, you know, so much, you know, machine learning and artificial intelligence these days that are being, you know, used into, you know, algorithmic form. You know, so you can really kind of get your analytics out of data. Are you talking about that at all?
Absolutely. Capella is an analytics-driven organization. As you can imagine, with online, every transaction, the faculty interactions with the students, the feedback they provide, that's all captured. AI even brings me back to my early technology days when I was putting on in speech recognition systems. So again, much like cloud, AI has been around for a while, but now it's being repurposed into other meaningful ways. How effectively, how efficiently can papers be graded? And we're seeing a lot of this with the MOOCs and other like edX, Coursera's. They're exploring, and there's other automated ways of grading assessments, assignments of students. So it's clearly the wave of the future of how learning is going to be assessed. I think you need to couple it with the human factor, though. I don't think that we're quite ready to say we're going to give up learning to a complete AI model, though.
Well, I would hope not, only because, you know, then it becomes a Twilight Zone episode. Hey, yeah, Bill, as I tell all my guests, what I like to do is I like to leave them with, you know, a couple of thoughts or ideas that maybe, you know, the listeners might not know anything disruptive out there. You know, why don't you leave us with give us a good Daphnisism, if you don't mind, please, a good Dr. Daphnisism as we end this thing.
Let's start thinking about who the future learners are going to be. We have digital immigrants and digital natives. The world is going to be much different in the future than it is today. Enable that. Embrace it. Critical thinking, though, is key to your family, to your employees. Embrace the uncertainty. I'm glad you brought up blockchain. I do believe the enablement of blockchain in the infrastructure of organizations, much like crypto, is going to change the face of commerce and also process. And I look at this with the eye of my prior experience was the newspaper publishing industry. I saw that industry that did not embrace change or was slow to it. And if any industry is slow to embrace change and doesn't accept disruption, they are going to end up being that dinosaur.
You know, that's probably a perfect place to end it, because, you know, I could not agree with you more. I love that. It's like you're preaching to the choir there. You've been listening to Dr. Bill Daphnis. He is the Associate Dean of Technology at Capella University. And for all of you out there, I would say go back and listen to this interview at least one more time. This is Jack Berugin. You've been listening to Cloud Sense. I'll be talking to you soon.